Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, family. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke and remind you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are together again, and we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Once again, our subject is disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Now, all the scriptures that I read today will be from the Amplified Study Bible. So if there are words that are not in your Bible, do not be concerned with that. We will get to the same spot at the same time. I guarantee you that. Now, let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Again, Proverbs 22, verse number 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Again, we see here we are to train our children. And that word train simply means to make one to do. So we are to train our children. So when they are mature in age, they will not depart from the teachings that has been instilled in their lives and their abilities and talents. Amen. We want to train them, and we want to train them in the way that they should go, not the way that they want to go. Now you're there in Proverbs 22. Please go to verse 15. And it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And because children are naturally curious, that foolishness can cause them to be disobedient at times, to make decisions contrary to God's word. But with proper training, although they might stray from the word of God for a moment, their training will direct them back to the word of God. Amen. Proper training will direct them back to the word of God. Now, please go to Isaiah 55 and let's validate that statement I just made. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 11. And it says, so will my words be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without results, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. So the training that you give your children at a young age, that instruction, that construction, that teaching that you give them, it will not come back to you void, because God's word tells us his words will not come, that come out of his mouth will not return to him void. Amen. But it's going to accomplish exactly what they are meant to do. Now, God's word is solid as a rock, and it will accomplish exactly what it says when it is done according to his commandment. Now, let's continue our teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Now, the word disobedience simply means rebellion against recognized authority. Again, it simply means rebellion against recognized authority. And in this case, it's rebellion against God's commandment to mankind. Now, before we continue with our teaching from last week, let's look at an example of God's recognized authority given to mankind. The authority God gave to man in the beginning. But first, let me tell you what authority means. Authority means the lawful right to enforce obedience or power. Once again, authority means the lawful right to enforce obedience or power. Now, let's look at an example of authorized authority. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Again, Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 26 to 31. Let's read. It says, then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. So we see here God initially, in the beginning, he blessed mankind. And God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, putting it under your power, and rule over or dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living being that moves on the earth. So God said, behold, I'm yielding seed. It shall be food for you. Verse 30. And all the animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that moves on the ground, to everything in which there is the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so, because he commanded it. Verse 31. God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And he validated it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. So we see here God, in his wonderful creation, created man after his likeness and his image. And he gave him authority over all the earth that he had created. This was recognized authority. God had given mankind authority over his creation and gave to him, mankind, specific instructions for him to follow, for him to be successful on what God has given him to rule over. Amen. We have to understand the authority that God has given us to rule over. We have to be able to take that recognized authority and do it well. Do it the way God would want us to do it. Amen. We know through our study of God's word that he, God, came that we might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance as long as we are obedient and not disobedient to his will. Amen. Let me repeat that. We know through our study of God's word that he, God, came that we might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance as long as we are obedient and not disobedient to his will. But there is another one who is our opponent in this fight of faith, who is our adversary. Let me repeat that. Who is our adversary, and his name is Satan. Yes, he is another reason many Christians are disobedient, because they are not always aware they have an adversary. We have an adversary, family, and we need to understand that. Now, please turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Again, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, and we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, fight the good fight of faith in the conflict of evil. Once again, it says, fight the good fight of faith in the conflict with evil. So, family, we are in a fight, but it is not a physical fight, but a fight for your faith. Amen. It is a fight for your faith. It is a demonic fight being enraged in the spiritual realm. Amen. It's being fought in the spiritual realm. Satan is after your faith. And if he can get you to yield, as men, if he can get you to yield to his temptations through thoughts, ideas, or suggestions, he will continue until he eventually wears you down and you fall victim to his schemes. When that happens, family, then disobedience is sitting at your door. And Satan has demanded permission to shift you as weak. So it's important that your faith remains strong and committed to the truth of God's word. Amen. Now, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12. And it says, "Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places." Family, we're in a fight, and we have to put on the full armor of God. Amen. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is not human, but is demonic, that operates in the spirit world. Let's identify what the Bible calls some of our adversary. Amen. Let's identify what the Bible calls our adversary. Please go to the book of John chapter 12. Again, John chapter 12. Verse 31. And it says, "Now judgment is upon this world. The sentence is being passed. Now the ruler of this world, Satan, will be cast out." So we see the Bible call our adversary the ruler of this world. Now, let's quickly go to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 5 through 7. And it says, "Then he led Jesus up to a high mountain and displayed before him all the kingdoms of the inhabited earth and their magnificence in the twinkling of an eye. And the devil said to him, 'I will give you all this realm and its glory. Its power is renowned because it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whom I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it all will be yours.'" So we see here that all this was just handed over to Satan. That's why he's called the ruler of this world. Amen. Now let's look at another chapter and verse. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. And it says, "In which you once walked, you were following the ways of the world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedience, the unbelieving, who fight against the purpose of God." So another name used for our adversary is the prince of the power of the air. Satan works through the airways, so we have to be careful of what we hear and what we say. Amen. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. And it says, "Among them, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God." So we see here that he's also identified as the God of this world. And he has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, those who really don't know Jesus, Satan has blinded their eyes from them so they cannot see the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Amen. And then finally, go to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. And it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power of the kingdom, the dominion, the reign of our God, and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters have been thrown down at last. He who accuses them and keeps bringing charges of sinful behavior against them before our God day and night." So another name is he is the accuser of the brethren. The prince of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the god of this age, and the accuser of the brethren, better known as the devil, is our enemy. He is our adversary. He is the master of deception, which appeals to our desires and lusts, which will cause or tempt you into disobedience. Amen. Now turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Again, Titus, chapter 3. And it says, "For we too once were foolish." Listen to what it says. It says, "For we too once were foolish, without knowledge, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various sinful desires, passions, and desires, spending and wasting our or your life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." But listen what the scripture says. It says, "For we too once were." That's past tense. I once was without knowledge. I didn't know the things of God. I was very disobedient in some areas. I was deceived in some areas. And I also was enslaved in various desires and passions that I wanted to do because I wanted to do it. I made the decision. I had a free will, so I wanted to do this. But the scripture says we were too once. So that means past tense. The scripture says we were once, meaning past tense. We were once foolish, without knowledge. We were once disobedient. We were once deceived. We were once enslaved to various sinful desires, passions, and pleasures. We were once spending and wasting our life in malice and envy. We were once hateful. We were once hating one another. But guess what? Satan knows also that you were once foolish, that you were once without knowledge, that you were once disobedient, that you were once deceived, that you were once enslaved to various sinful desires, passion, and desires, that you were once spending and wasting your life in malice and envy. You were once hateful. You were once hating one another. And these things that you desired for, the things that you lust for, the things that enslaved you into various sinful desires, passions, and desires, the things that caused you to spend and waste your life in malice and envy, hatefulness, hating one another, that's the same area that Satan will attempt to attack you in, because that is where you were weakest and caused you to be disobedient. That's right. Satan knows that. And he's going to come right back with deception and his trickery to attempt to get you to fall again, to attempt to make you disobedient to the things of God. That is why we cannot give Satan any place. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, see, Satan knows what you used to like. Oh, yeah, he knows those sinful ways that you used to enjoy that was appealed to your flesh. So he's going to attack you in those areas to get you to be disobedient to the things of God. Amen. So you're there in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to verse number 27. And it says, and do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. Amen. It says, do not give him the devil an opportunity. Don't give him no opportunity. You give him an opportunity to get his butt whipped by the word of faith. That's what we're going to do. Amen. Behind many of the conflicts, the temptations, the struggle in life, there is a deeper spiritual reality. Amen. The devil and his forces work to spread lies, promote sin, and oppose the kingdom of God. However, the body of Christ and Christians are not to be unguarded. Amen. Well, I'm just about out of time, but please join us next week. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.